You're listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Alert! Clear all channels.
Fresh from America's Dairyland,
ladies and gentlemen,
from the Benches Podcast.
Touchdown, Packers!
Packers Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to From the Benches with Ross Uglum and Ryan Hilsland.
Welcome back, everybody, to From the Benches. This is a Monday afternoon episode following the Packers' 20-13 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Not exactly a whole lot of fun. My name is Ross Uglum. I'm a writer at PackersTalk.com, and with me, as always, is Ryan Hilsland. Ryan, how are you?
Oh, on top of back-to-back, not fun Packer games to experience, I'm also fighting off a really uncomfortable cough, cold, head congestion thing, so I'm just a big ball of not fun today.
That sounds great. We will, however, try to soldier on.
I'll give it my best.
As Ryan intimated there, two rough ones in a row for the Pack. The loss at Arizona was almost embarrassing, 38-8. And then last night again to the Minnesota Vikings, the Packers for the first time in 5 years did not win the NFC North. They will go on to play Washington on Sunday at the NFC East champion Redskins. And, Ryan, the Packers didn't have Bakhtiari or Shields. You felt like that was a big deal on Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the secondary fared better than I expected them to without Sam Shields, certainly better than they did in Arizona, but the Bakhtiari being out, the shuffling of the line was a little surprising to me. That obviously made a really big difference in the way the offense operated. You had Josh sitting at left tackle for the first time since college, and Lane Taylor starting at left guard. So that was a pretty big shakeup on the offensive line, as has been the norm for a lot of this season. Has been not much offensive line continuity, so I think that was a big deal. We're going to dive into that a little bit later, but I think Bakhtiari being out was a bigger deal than Shields this week.
Well, I think there's no question about it, and I agree wholeheartedly. I think, you know, Bridgewater at this point in his career doesn't really present much of a threat against a good defense, and that's what you saw yesterday. I mean, the difference in the game, honestly, was the Aaron Rodgers half fumble, half forward pass push thing, return for a touchdown. I think if that play doesn't happen and Green Bay just punts or kicks a field goal there, the Packers probably win. Minnesota was able to do very little on the offensive end against the Packers, and so I think that, you know, Shields is gonna come in handy, especially chasing DeSean Jackson around in Washington, but his loss isn't a big deal just because Quentin Rollins and Demaryius Randall are such exceptional players. That David Bakhtiari thing was a real problem, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The only injury of note yesterday doesn't seem to be a huge deal. Dayton Jones left with a neck injury, did not return. I know that's a scary, scary concept, especially for Packer fans, losing so many guys to neck injuries during this Ted Thompson era. But I don't think that this was, I think we're more in the stinger range than we are in the, C5, C4 fusion conversation with Dayton Jones. Coach McCarthy said that he was up and around and, just being himself kind of today. So I have very little concern about what's going on with Dayton Jones at this point. Ryan, I got to ask you a question. Just considering that, it doesn't really have much of an effect on how, I guess, odds for the Super Bowl are concerned, and at the same time, too, sets them up with an easier first-round opponent. Do you care that the Packers didn't win the division this year?
Only in that I have to, or I'm currently having to deal with all of our Viking fans' friends splattering social media with purple NFC North title pictures and statuses and whatnot. But as far as the playoff picture goes, I don't really care. Going into the game, we knew that there wasn't going to be a way that the Packers ended up hosting Seattle in the first round. That was it was going to come down to the matchup with Washington that we ended up getting, or a Vikings return trip to Lambeau next week. And honestly, had we beaten the Vikings, particularly with how underwhelming the Packers have looked over the second half of the season, basically, I wouldn't have been very thrilled with having a division opponent come in and trying to beat them for a third time. That's always a difficult thing for a team to do, to do a three-game sweep of a team in one season, and I wouldn't have had really any confidence in this Packers team the way they've looked, pulling something like that off. So going to Washington's just fine as far as the playoffs go. It's just annoying dealing with the number of Vikings fans that we know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this really was the Super Bowl for them, and I guess good for Vikings fans that haven't had very much to cheer about for the last 5 years, I guess. But it's largely inconsequential. I mean, they're going to get smoked by Seattle. They got smoked by Seattle at home already this year. I think that game was 38-7, something along those lines. I mean, they're a terrible matchup for the Seahawks, and this gives Green Bay a chip and a chair. I think that road game, I think we're 1-point underdogs, but I would have no problem seeing with the return of Shields and Bakhtiari. I mean, they had just won three consecutive games. That Raiders team that they beat, I think, is pretty similar in quality to the Redskins. I'm not a huge fan of what's going on in Washington. And Cousins seems like a decent enough quarterback, but if the Packers won that game, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But we're Packers fans, and they call Green Bay Title Town USA for a reason. It's about world championships, and I'm not saying that the Packers are going to win the world championship this year, but NFC North division titles don't hang in Lambeau Field, and so the fact that they didn't win this one after winning the previous four and not ever the Super Bowl during that time, it just doesn't matter. It's not the ultimate goal, and that's kind of all that I have to say about that. And the reason
The last time we didn't win the division, we went on and won the Super Bowl.
That's
not
true.
Not that I'm predicting that to happen this season, but it just doesn't really, in the long run, make that much of a difference.
Exactly. Same record, too. The last time the Packers won 10 games, they won the Super Bowl. So that's certainly applies to this situation, and at the same time, I mean, that was a very different team, and I think we both recognize that and have changed or altered our expectations to to reflect that. And the reason I think, Ryan, for our expectations being where they are is this offense is just broken. I think this might be the best defense the Packers have had since the Super Bowl winning defense. But right now the team can't score points, and it's tough to win in the NFL when you can't score points. And it's really a problem to not be able to score points when you have when you have Aaron Rodgers. And I think part of the problem is Rodgers. But at the same time, this is uncharted waters for us as Packer fans, not being able to score. I mean, this team has really been able to score since, Favre was here. And the problem has always been to have a good enough defense. And I think this defense is good enough. It just seems like it's unfortunate that now maybe the offense isn't. Ryan, what has to happen for this offense to get better? And is it a 2016 thing, or can it get better in 6 days?
I mean, in order for it to get better in 6 days, you're going to need, I think, really the only thing that can happen is for Aaron Rodgers to just kind of find it, which certainly isn't out of the question. But he just has to play better, and he's the really big thing you notice. With everything else, we'll kind of find out if we always thought that we thought coming into the season the offense was pretty talented. We thought there were a lot of weapons. Obviously, without Jordy Nelson, we'll see how big much of a difference that makes when we have him back and healthy next season. We're going to kind of find out when the next couple seasons come up, if Aaron Rodgers gets back to playing the way he has, if all of these guys are having their level of play elevated by having the best player in football at the quarterback position. Maybe this terrible offensive season is Rodgers playing at a low level and not being able to elevate those guys. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I think for this season, I don't think Davante Adams suddenly playing really well is going to make a big difference if Rodgers doesn't improve. So I really think for it to happen this week to make a playoff run, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers driven. But I mean, as far as what to do on offense, I just think they need to open it up a little bit more. You saw at the end of the game yesterday, the offense started taking some deeper shots downfield, and that's something that we haven't really seen all season. We talked about it earlier in the season when the Packers were still winning, whether we were concerned that they weren't taking any shots on the field, everything was underneath. And then you saw the Broncos and the Cardinals, or not the Cardinals, the Broncos and the Panthers kind of shut the offense down for a six-quarter period. And basically since then, everybody's just been playing press man, taking away anything they can underneath, and the Packers haven't been able to do anything. And you saw in this late in the game yesterday that when the protection was there, they took some shots downfield. There were some deep balls, and they got some chunk yardage out of it. And that just hasn't been there all season. Now, it probably has a little bit to do, particularly 2 weeks ago in Arizona when the tackles were out, and we had Rodgers taking 8 sacks. It probably just wasn't in the cards in that game, but in this game, the protection was good enough. It was at least good enough for Rodgers to have a couple seconds and then escape if it broke down a little bit. But you took some shots downfield. You got some chunk yardage. You took some big plays, not necessarily the old shot play we're used to seeing with Jordy Nelson. You're not seeing that kind of like shots downfield, but Rodgers was looking down the field a little bit more in the second half, and I think that just that needs to happen. The receivers aren't necessarily getting all that open, but Rodgers is able to escape, usually able to escape and survey down the field. He just needs to look down the field, and the underneath stuff isn't working. Those little 2-yard flat routes to Richard Rodgers are most of the time not working. You're getting 2, 3, 4 yards and not really completing those at all that high of a level. So they just might as well take some shots downfield. The underneath stuff isn't working. Just take some shots, get some big plays, try to turn, you know, a play or two into the points you're getting in the game instead of trying to methodically go down the field and score points, because that just hasn't been working. Try to get all your points, or, you know, get in position to get a field goal and see something with a big play or two on each drive, because the underneath stuff, the short routes, the little stuff to the outside, that it just isn't working this season. And you saw some ball movement yesterday with shots down the field, and I think they just need to do that. That's they're desperate. It's the playoffs now. It's win or go home. So take a shot. Don't try to be conservative. Don't keep doing this underneath stuff and letting the defense dictate what you're doing. Go out and show them something.
You know, I think I agree a little bit, but what we're going to talk about behind the benches and what I had a problem with was just the lack of an ability to commit to the run game. I didn't understand why they went away from it. I think they need to, you know, go with Lacy, trust him, and hopefully, you know, the offensive line is sort of put back together and you don't have Lane Taylor in there. But I just think that they need to, when they come in with a good game plan, maybe trust it a little bit, not, you know, abandon it right away. That becomes to be an issue. And, I just think that Aaron Rodgers needs to play better. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out after the season, honestly, that he's playing hurt. I've never seen him miss throws like this in his career, even, you know, at times with, you know, lower body injuries. Even coming off of a broken collarbone, you know, his play after 2012 was just fine. And I've just never seen, you know, there's a 4th-and-5 play in that game where James Jones destroyed Xavier Rhodes on a comeback route, but Rodgers completely missed the pass, and Rhodes was able to catch up and interfere. I thought he interfered with the completion. They didn't call it, but I mean, that they never should have even been in that situation. I think Rodgers is just not right, and that's the problem with the offense. You got to get him right, and I'm not convinced that it's going to happen between now and Washington. At the same time, I'm absolutely convinced, you know, that it'll happen before 2016. He's not old enough where I'm worried about him being washed up. I think he's got, you know, another one or two MVP seasons left in him. This certainly wasn't one of them, but I'm not worried to that extent. I think he's going to be fine long term. I'm not convinced that the offense can get it pulled together. You know, it's especially in time for a second round matchup with Carolina. Now, Carolina is one of the best defenses in the entire NFL, and the Packers scored 30 points on them in that matchup in Carolina. Now, this game will also be in Carolina, but it's promising, at least, you know, and I think the one thing that this team as a whole needs to do is start treating the entire game like it's the fourth quarter, because that's been this team. And it's funny because that's the big knock from, you know, the unintelligent pundits and the talking heads. Well, Rodgers isn't a fourth quarter quarterback. That's because the old Aaron Rodgers would have had those Vikings down 30-20 or 30-13 going into the fourth quarter, and wouldn't have to have an epic fourth quarter as he did again on Sunday. So that's the issue, I think, is probably the quarterback and the head coach, and I'm not sure that's going to get changed in 2015, but they'll get it figured out in 2016, getting Montgomery back, getting Nelson back, yet another year of continuity along the offensive line. I think there's a lot to look forward to next season, certainly. Ryan, let's go behind the benches and talk about the opening game plan, what you thought of it, and why you think it all of a sudden disappeared.
Yeah, I like the way, you know, the way they came out. They fed Lacy a lot. right out of the gate. And why not? The with as poorly as Rodgers has looked, why not lean on the run game? Lacy hasn't looked terrible. He's had some flashes of positive games in the second half of the season, and it came out. It was working, and why not just stick to it? I don't get why they went away. It's not like the score got away from them. Obviously, they're playing from behind, but not to the point where you need to abandon the run game and start chucking it to come back from a 20-point deficit or whatnot. It seemed like they got away from the run game before the score got away, and I think it's probably has a little bit to do with the score getting away from them. I don't understand, with as poorly as the offense has been going, why you go away from a successful game plan when it starts off. That was the success with the run game, with the early game plan, was in that 15-play part of the game where plays are generally scripted, where you the offense goes in knowing pretty much what plays are going to be called early in the game, and then to just not stick with it, for McCarthy to go away from it after those that kind of scripted part of the game is over, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me. I'm being a little bit of play calling guy here, but it seems like when you got something working, especially when in a season where so little has worked, why go away from something that worked? It didn't make a lot of sense for me. It was frustrating, and I think it probably was a big part in the Packers struggling to score until late in the game when they started to click a little bit.
Well, the thing that I definitely appreciated about it was just the reads that it was setting up for Rodgers. I mean, the throws he was making out of 22 were wide open, and especially that shot to Richard Rodgers. I think that they were putting the entire offense in place to be successful, and it's unfortunate that they got away from it. I'm sure that, you know, after the 22 personnel, the second series was probably scripted to go a little bit wider. I thought they did some nice things out of the bunch formation in the second half as well. That traditional 11 personnel, 3-by-1, no huddle is great when you have Jordy Nelson, but that wasn't the situation. And I think that they had so much success out of that, and, you know, either using Lacy and Kuhn or using Lacy and Richard Rodgers, they did so many great things out of a standard 3-by-1 set or 11 personnel, however you want to do it, a standard single back formation a season ago, that they just can't get it out of their heads that it won't work. And that's the adaptability, and I think some of the reasons that people are so frustrated by what has gone on this season. And just listening to McCarthy even today in the press conference talk about how they don't have a plan, you know, to change anything. It's like, dude, it's not working, and it's fine. And you know what? You'll probably be able to reinstall it next year, and it'll work again. And then you can look at all of us and say, "See, I was right," but you weren't, because right now, you know, you're beat up, and you got to figure out a different way to win football games, and they're not doing that right now. So that's. That's my frustration with the whole thing, and I'm hoping, you know, that they can get it figured out. Ryan, what would you have done with the offensive line last night? Obviously, you know, it was much publicized. People talked about Josh Sitton going out to left tackle and then Lane Taylor sliding in for him at left guard. I'm of the opinion right now that J.C. Tretter is one of the best five linemen that the Packers have. When they're without a starter. So one of the best six, I guess, would be a much easier way of saying that. But I just think he's one of the best six linemen on the team. Yet in a game to decide a division that you said you wanted to win, I'm not sure. I mean, I think if they didn't want to win, they probably just wouldn't have played all the starters. I think Green Bay was legitimately trying to win that game. So in a game that you're trying to win, I mean, why put Sitton out there? Why use Lane Taylor? What would you have done with the offensive line group last night?
Well, actually, obviously I was surprised. I wasn't thrilled when we got that news, when we found out Sitton was going to be a left tackle. It was going to be Lane Taylor at left guard. I actually don't hate the Sitton at left tackle portion of that. Obviously, in the game prior, having the backup tackles in there was not good. It was not did not net positive results. They obviously McCarthy and the coaching staff did not have any confidence in Treader or Barclay on the tackle spots. So they took a chance. They put Josh Sitton out there. They put their best offensive lineman at left tackle and didn't do terrible. I think he held his own for not having played left tackle since college. But I guess it was a bit of a head scratcher to put Lane Taylor in there at guard. Like you said, Treader is one of the six best offensive linemen and certainly is better on the interior than he is at tackle. He did a fine job filling in for Lindsley at center earlier in the season. I guess I don't really understand why you put Taylor in there as opposed to Treader. You've got guys playing out of position anyway. You might as well have the better of your offensive linemen in there. I mean, but as far as the Sitton thing goes, I don't hate putting him out there. You take a chance. You've got all the shuffling on the offensive line. Might as well try to go and get some above average play at left tackle. Because that's not how it came out right. The detrimental play at guard is a lot less damaging to your offense than detrimental play at left tackle. So if you took a chance, you can go out and put Sitton in at left tackle and he does a good job, then you can cover up some subpar play at guard. So I understand where their mindset is, but I just don't really get Lane Taylor being the fill-in, being the guy. Put your best guys out there. Everybody's out of position anyway. Everybody's banged up. Get your best guys on the field and roll with that. So the Lane Taylor thing didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I agree. I think, you know, our whole opinion of everything when this deal started was, didn't you think, Ryan, that Brian Bulaca was the backup left tackle?
Right. We talked about that going into this season, you know, that we felt pretty good having Don Barclay be the backup right tackle and Brian Bulaca be the de facto backup left tackle. You know, maybe it was Brian Bulaga's injuries during the season that made them go away from that. Maybe that was never the plan to begin with. Maybe they just thought Bulaga was going to be the right tackle, you know, after he got injured the first time he went over to left tackle, when that was going to be the permanent move, when that was the plan. I don't know where that plan was. Obviously, the Barclay being the backup right tackle didn't work. It certainly didn't work having him be the backup left tackle. I think they just kind of they had that plan in their head during the season, and when they had to get him out on the field, it went horribly wrong, and they had to kind of roll the dice with a different plan. I don't get it. But something held them back from putting Bulaga at left tackle. Maybe they think that he wasn't playing all that well at right tackle. Why move him to the left? See if he can kind of get it together, get healthy, play right tackle. And I just don't get it. Left tackle, such an important spot. Gambling when you have a guy who at one point you thought could play left tackle in Bulaga. I guess I don't really get putting him over there, but it seems like that was never really an option all season. You know, Bakhtiari's had some injury problems now, so was Bulaga, but it doesn't seem like it really was ever an option when that was kind of the common sense thing that we thought was going to happen before the season started.
Right, so I guess, you know, if you're going to go down that road and decide that, hey, look, this is our guy, he's the right tackle, that's where he plays, whether it has to do with injury, whatever, but to not swing him over to the left side, I have a problem with, but they aren't going to do that. So, in my opinion, okay. Then what you're telling me is that we have a level of comfortability with certain players at these positions. And this used to be a huge criticism of the Packers and their offensive line in years past, that they would try and train these guys in at all these different positions, and it bugged the hell out of the local media because nobody seemed to know, you know, who played what position. Is this guy a left guard? Is he a center? Whatever, whatever.
Drafted, played tackle in college, drafted to be a guard, all this.
Yeah, so, okay, so now you've gotten to the complete other side. Fine. My point is, then stick with it. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to try another guy at one position. I would have put Shredder at left tackle. I think he is shown to be an athletic enough guy. I think he's a lighter guy. He doesn't have the girth to him, you know, like a Lindsley, certainly like Sitton and Lang. I think he's a guy. I mean, you know, you want your left tackle to be taller than 6'4". I understand that, but you also want him to not be Don Barclay. And I think J.C. Shredder could have done a decent job at not being Don Barclay. And certainly, it could have backfired. I mean, there's a chance that it didn't work out. But at that point, then you have your preferred guys at left guard, center, right guard, and right tackle. And you're only, and you know what? If you looked at the end of the game, John Kuhn was chipping Everson Griffin on every play anyway. I mean, they had four guys on routes and Kuhn chipping Griffin. And at that point, if you're chipping Griffin, what the hell do you have Josh sitting out there for anyway? I just had an issue with the personnel use, and that certainly is easy to say after a big loss. I understand that. This is revisionist history, but If your strategy with not switching Bulaga to left tackle and not putting your best tackle on the left side with, you know, injuries and this and that, and that's fine. Okay, cool. I'm down. I'm good with it. Then why are you moving the best guard in football out of the left guard position? That's my overarching issue and the problem I had with the whole thing. Ryan, do you think, you know, we've talked and certainly I would say we're probably not the biggest David Bakhtiari supporters on the blogosphere, certainly not on our radio network. Do you feel like we maybe have underestimated just how important Bakhtiari is to this team?
Yeah, I think we have. Particularly, I mean, obviously in the pass protection area, everybody talks about it. You have to protect your quarterback's blind side. You have to have somebody over there who can keep your quarterback from getting killed. And Bakhtiari, for the most part, for his short career so far, has been able to do that. And he has had his deficiencies in other areas. He's not been a good run blocker. He's had problems with penalties quite a bit. But for the most part, he's been a solid pass protector, a left tackle. And that's the first thing you're looking for in a left tackle. If you can get at least that, you're going to be okay. If you can get more and you've got a Joe Thomas kind of left tackle, then you're set. You've got exactly what you're looking for, left tackle. But Bakhtiari at least does the minimum you're looking for from the left tackle spot. Now, I don't think we're wrong in saying that he could be better in other areas. I think he certainly has his areas to improve, but you can't underestimate that the ability to pass protect on the left side of the line, that left tackle. And he has been pretty good at that for his, for his 3-year career. And you see when he's out, how big of a problem it is. How many things can go wrong when you don't have your pass protector at left tackle. So I think we probably haven't underestimated that part of his game. But I still don't think we're wrong in saying that he can be better in other areas also.
Well, that's my point. And that's kind of what's funny is I don't think you and I have ever been incorrect in our evaluation of David Bakhtiari. Like our issue is that dude can't run block. And dude can't run block. You know what I mean? And so
Correct. That
seems to be the problem, but he is. He's a mirror, man. I mean, he's such a fantastic pass blocker. And not only is he fantastic, but there's a huge gap between he and the rest of the pass blockers that would come in at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the issue is, and that's where I think you'll see, you know, Thompson go right back to the him. He's a guy who's taken an offensive lineman, every season, and I think he'll go right back there
No, he might take three. After going a season without taking one, yeah, he's absolutely going to get some more line talent in the draft.
I mean, I think three would be, but two, I would, you know, they don't really have a backup guard at this point. I mean, Walker has, for as much as you and I liked him, has not been impressive. Lane Taylor is the definition of just a guy. I would say at this point, they're without a backup tackle and a backup guard. I mean, anybody that I trust, and granted, you know, teams have a lot of holes. And so the idea that Green Bay is going to have five good offensive linemen and a good backup at each spot is insane. I mean, that's not real life. Line play is hard. It's hard to find guys, to be honest with you. So I get that, but if they take an offensive tackle that they feel like has some versatility in the top 100, I won't be surprised at all.
Nope.
Ryan, I think last night was probably the best we've seen from Davante Adams this season. Zero drops, attacked the football, and was really actually kind of a force after the catch, forced some missed tackles. I feel like did very well for himself in that situation. Does this performance make you feel better about Adams? Were you even worried about Adams long term? What are your feelings about Davante, especially as it pertains specifically to last night?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this was one of his better performances of the season. Not very many good ones to speak of, but he played pretty well last night. I think it makes me feel better about him now that expectations have kind of been, you know, more reasoned out. They're more realistic now. You're not expecting him to be to jump in and just be a number one receiver like we talked about prior to the season. I think my expectations have kind of shifted that he is now has the potential to be a good third option, to be that other outside guy next to Nelson and Cobb. I think he has the ability to do that. I certainly think he can get better. Only his second season, and he's showed flashes in his first season last year. Obviously, this has been a disappointment, but it just might have been too much pressure to pile on a young guy in his second year. But if he can do things like that as a third wide receiver going forward, that's great. I definitely feel good about that. But as far as how it makes me feel about how we thought about his expectations going into this season, he didn't look like a number one receiver. He just looked good, and that if that's going to be your third wide receiver, then great. So I feel good about him now that my expectations have been tempered. He looks solid. If he can do things like that, I'll be happy with him going forward.
I tend to agree. I felt like Adams, no Packers receiver during this Thompson era has been asked to be the guy in year two, and I think, you know, expectations were raised because we had a high opinion of him as an athlete and as a player. But this is a complex offense, and these guys have you know, they've blossomed in year three and year four. And to be honest with you, they've blossomed with a lot of awesome pass-catching talent around them. And we sort of were like, hey, Davante, be the guy. Now, has he been good? No. Has he performed below expectations? Yes. But at the same time, I don't think that, and I am a number one, this is like my bad for sure. I'm not blaming other people for this, but this is a guy that we asked probably a little bit too much of this season, and is a guy that is, you know, I don't think has any less of a bright future than he did going forward. I think that there's going to be a lot for him to learn from this, and hopefully he gets the offseason MVP again and takes a step in that third season like we've seen so many Packers receivers do under this Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy regime. So I think that, you know, going forward and just, you know, a guy that playing as bad as he has over the season could have just packed it in too. I mean, for him to continue to show fight and continue to try and get better, even, you know, this late in the season was impressive, and I think was certainly a big deal and a good sign moving forward, especially, you know, when he'll be slotted back into that third spot or maybe even the fourth spot. And that brings me to our next point. Does James Jones need to be on the team next year, considering neither he or Adams can help on specials? And would you feel more comfortable with a Nelson Cobb Jones situation like you had in 2013, or do you feel fine about Adams?
I feel fine about Adams being the third. Like I said, he's shown me enough to say he can take that role on his own. He didn't really have it as his own as a rookie. He kind of split that with Jared Boykin. But I feel good about him being the third guy now full time. I don't think Jones needs to be there. He's obviously was a big help this season. I can't even imagine where the Packers offense would be if James Jones had not been cut by the Giants. It would have just been even uglier. But if Nelson comes back healthy, if Jared Aberderis and Ty Montgomery are able to stay healthy and be productive guys going forward, I don't think there's any reason to say that you need to have James Jones on the team. He was a huge help this season. I'm very grateful for his availability and the way he's played, at an advanced age and coming in right as the season started. I'm grateful for that, but I don't think it's necessary to keep James Jones around unless we run into some injury problems again, in training camp next season. I don't think James Jones is a necessity.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it'd be nice to have him around, but you do run into that problem. You hope for the second to third year jump from Abby. You hope for the second to third year jump from Janice. Montgomery's coming back, and then you have Adams, Nelson, and Cobb.
That's a lot of receivers.
It is. It's a lot. You don't need that many guys, and when you have a guy like Adams that can't contribute on specials, and you have a guy like Jones, and you can't contribute on specials, you have to make a choice there. And as badly as Devontae Adams has played, that's still a top 60 pick and a guy that you have to keep around. So I'd be surprised, even though the quarterback asked for it, I'd be surprised to see James Jones back with the team next year, even if they decide to keep six, and I'm sure they will. So the only question, I guess, that really matters for the rest of the show and for the rest of the 2015 season is, Ryan, can the Packers beat the Redskins?
Yeah? Question mark? Yeah, they can. I mean, we know these guys. We know this personnel. We know the guys on offense. We know the defense is certainly playing well enough. I don't have any question in my mind that the Packers offense is capable of going out and playing well enough to beat the Redskins on the road in the playoffs, but I'm not necessarily confident that they will. The pedigree that all these guys have, that Lacy has, that Cobb has, that obviously Aaron Rodgers has, these guys, they're all capable of putting it together. They all can do it. We've seen them do it. It just hasn't been this season. We haven't seen really a full game put together by the offense in 3 months, 2.5 months. It's been a while, and obviously their long-term pedigree says they can do it, but I just don't have any confidence they're going to be able to put it together now when for so many consecutive weeks they've just struggled so hard. And so they certainly can. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and win a playoff game on the road, but I can't say that with a whole lot of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can win. I'm not sure that they will. One thing I will say is this Washington pass defense is real, real bad. I mean, like bottom of the league bad. If the Packers are going to get it going through the air, this Washington Redskins defense would probably be the one. They've got, you know, a gambler type of guy in D'Angelo Hall. He's been doing that for years, getting beat and then, you know, making plays on top of getting beat. Always fun to have one of those guys in the secondary. But that's one, you know, big reason that the Packers have a chance in this game. And then just offensively, the Redskins don't scare you that much. Kirk Cousins is having a decent season. Jordan Reed creates a matchup problem, but you're not really scared of DeSean Jackson at this point. You're not really scared of Pierre Garçon at this point. And they haven't been able to run the ball as well as they would have hoped in Washington. Green Bay definitely the better team. Road game, I mean, the Packers were a 5-3 unit on the road this year. So that's, which is just mind-blowing to me, of course. But that's...
that they improved their record on the road in this season.
Exactly. But, yeah, so that's what I mean. I mean, there is no reason to think that this team is markedly worse on the road. That dichotomy no longer exists. And I think that's kind of why we thought they were a 13-3 team this year, because we sort of thought they were going to go 8-0 at home, and it didn't happen. In fact, it very much didn't happen, and they got swept by the division. And I just want to talk about that for a second, Ryan. This is the most disappointed I think I've ever been in a season, I think. You know, this was a year, I think, after last year and the way that it ended with that Seattle loss and you know, We're so close to going to a Super Bowl. Not only a Super Bowl, but a Super Bowl against a team that the Packers had already beaten that year. And, you know, a possible fifth Lombardi trophy and a 13th world title. I mean, that was exciting stuff. And it's unfortunate that it didn't happen. And this was supposed to be the season to make all that right. And it just went completely the other direction. And I understand that a lot of that is due to injury. I do. I mean, that's not lost on me, but it's just so disappointing. You know, unless, of course, they make a deep run and they win a championship. But this was a team I felt like that was going to be the number one seed in the NFC, was going to be the favorite out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. And I think, I think the NFC is going to be the favorite in the Super Bowl. This is supposed to be our year and it isn't. Can you remember a year, I guess, since you started being a fan that you've been more disappointed in?
I mean, not necessarily this has been like long-term disappointment. It's just a string of tough games to watch. Not having a lot of confidence in a team, especially when you had such high expectations. I think there's certainly been some heartbreakers that hurt more. 4th and 26, Favre's interception against the Giants in overtime. You had some season-ending losses that hurt more when expectations were high. But this has just been just kind of season-long disappointment. Even when the Packers were 6-0, you know, nobody was thinking like, at that point, you always kind of get the people talking, oh, but is this going to be the team that goes 16-0? I don't think anybody was talking about that with the Packers. They had won six straight games, but hadn't looked all that great in any of them. And then to just kind of have this nosedive of a second half of the season to get swept in the division at Lambeau, to lose the division title in the last week of the season, to have so many disappointing games, to get crushed by the Broncos and the Cardinals, to lose Favre's game on Thanksgiving against the Bears at home, all of these just disappointment, all these tough games to watch, just piled on for a whole season. I think it would be tough to say this isn't the season you've been most disappointed with for an entire season. Like I said, there have been some single games. There have been some endings to games that have been more disappointing on their own, but nothing this prolonged, not this long stretch of stretch of disappointment when expectations were so high.
So with that said, I mean, do you think that there's even a chance for them to win a playoff game if they beat Washington after that?
I mean, I there's no way I would predict it, but you saw this team almost make a comeback in Carolina against the number one seed. Obviously, that the blowout 2 weeks ago at Arizona when they're the two seed doesn't make you feel very good about going to Arizona, but I wouldn't be able to predict it. I mean, even though you saw them come so close against a then undefeated team at Carolina, I just don't have any confidence that this team could do that again if they were asked to go into Carolina, and I certainly don't have any confidence in their ability to go into Arizona after 2 weeks ago. So I certainly am not going to be the one predicting it.
I mean, I think the only way they make the Super Bowl is if Seattle can beat Carolina, or Seattle can beat Arizona.
Right.
You know, I think that's the...
I don't think you're going to Carolina and to Arizona and making the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think so at this point. I've wanted to believe, and they're... Even when they lose, you know, they show you something, except for in Arizona.
They've been so close on these comebacks. You dig a big hole, look terrible at halftime, and then you come back and have a chance to win it or tie it right at the end. That's like five times it's happened this season. It just, it's tiring.
I'd love to be wrong, but I just, you know,
yeah.
I think, and I'll just give my prediction, I think the Packers are going to find a way. I mean, I think this team has too much pride to lose in Washington. I think they're better than Washington. I think the Bakhtiari and the Shields returns are going to be big. I think they will win that game. And then, you know, that'll probably be it. But, hey, I mean, that gets you into the final eight. And then all you have to do is win three more games. and you know, the Packers have streaks of three consecutive victories and six consecutive victories in this season, even though they've, you know, only won 10 times. So I'll give you Packers 27, Redskins 23.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and predict a victory also. This has been, you know, a doom and gloom season, but... I went all of last season without picking a Packer loss, so I'm not going to go into the playoffs and pick them to lose against a team I think they're better than. I think they're better than Washington. You know, Kirk Cousins and that offense have been decent. I think they've been better than people expected them to be, but the Packers' defense is playing pretty well. I don't expect them to go and get their butt handed to them by Kirk Cousins at this point. I think they're playing better than that, and like you said, I think if there's a team that the passing game can get going against, it's this Redskins defense. So I'm going to predict one more victory. We'll see what happens. Maybe we're eating some crow next week when we're wrapping up the season. Maybe we're going to Carolina. Who knows? But I'm going to predict a 24-17 Packer victory and a second round playoff game.
Yeah, and I think, Ryan, we're probably going to have to take a little break after this season. I know this started as a off-season podcast, but if it goes down badly against Washington, we'll wrap up, but then we might have to just chill for a minute until it's draft time again. This has been really hard to deal with this particular Packers season. Guys, we want to thank you, as always, for listening to our show. We understand that your time is precious, and we appreciate any of that time that you spend with us. Please subscribe to the Packers Talk Network. Give us a rating. Leave us that 5-star review. It certainly helps us come up higher when people search for Aaron Rodgers, people search for the Green Bay Packers, whatever, on iTunes. And it helps us provide the level of content at the Packers Talk Network that you have become accustomed to. You can follow me. I am at Ross Uglum on Twitter. Ryan, where can they follow you?
I am at Hillisland358.
You can follow the show itself at From the Benches or follow Packers Talk Network at Packers Talk Net. Thanks again, and go Pack, go.
From the Benches. From the Benches.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.